We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes. My gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
Hello and welcome to the Talking Heads podcast. In this show, we take great snips from other shows, shine a bit of light, add a bit of context, and always add some humor. We are not affiliated with any of the shows mentioned in the podcast. However, if you are interested in the shows discussed, you can easily find them by going to the link in the podcast. And now, to the show.
And the real world is not an idea. It is not words. Reality is...
Alrighty, welcome to another episode of the Talking Heads podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about a conversation between Lex Friedman and Matthew McConaughey.
Good old Matthew McConaughey. What a legend.
What a legend. Yeah, before we get into the show too quick, I just want to let everyone know what's going on. So I'm currently riding my bike across the country to raise money for mental health. For the next couple of episodes, we're going to be calling in on the phone, but, this conversation was really good. I really want to read his book now. What is it called? Green Day?
Yeah, I've heard it's actually really good. Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody at the Hot Springs that just said that they read it, and they were like, it's super inspiring. It's not douchey at all.
Yeah, I heard when he was making it that he like got an RV apparently and went out to the middle of the desert and just like by himself for like 4 weeks or however long it took him to write it.
Wow.
And just did a bunch of psychedelics and wrote a book. And
that sounds like his style, though.
About that. It does, honestly, yeah. And it sounds like he made a really good book, so...
Nice.
He's such a wise character, though. I mean, honestly, he's one of those few actors I feel that really hasn't had Hollywood kind of take over their lives, and they're still like a genuinely real and interesting and helpful and caring person, which I really like. I'm a big fan of him. And then all of his performances and movies are amazing.
Yeah, now was originally from Texas, right? Because he lives in Austin. I'm sure he has like his Hollywood home too,
yeah.
But I wonder if that has a part to play, you know, growing up there, just like a different type of like grounded kind of, you know, it's a different type of people in Texas, right, than in California.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet that did have an impact on him. I know he talks about in the podcast how he moved to New York to go pursue acting at a pretty young age. But yeah, I mean, you have to think growing up in like probably a traditional, Texas home, he had that like good moral foundation and all of those things that come along with, you know, growing up in Texas that probably helped him a lot.
Yeah, I'd imagine. And he also has like this kind of very spiritual, almost like hippie mentality, you know, or philosophy about him too.
Yeah, he comes off as a very much like kind of a mystic in a way.
Right.
And it's so funny because I feel like it's like kind of the antithesis of what a lot of Hollywood is in some sense, you know, like he doesn't seem like he's a very egotistical person, you know. It seems like he's just, you know, a good actor who's just done a fucking incredible career for himself, you know, and he's still the same guy, you know?
Right. I mean, but just think of the amount of movies that he's done, You know, even when he did TV series, The True Detectives, which was, I remember when that came out and I thought, you know, because it's not often that A-list celebrities, you know, especially in Hollywood, will go and do like a TV series. You know, it's often like kind of an indication that their career's fallen off, which is clearly not where he was. But what an incredible show that was. I mean,
when did that come out? Because I don't think I've ever, I think I've heard of the show, but I've never watched it before.
It was so good. I'm going to guess around 2012, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, okay. Yeah.
2014.
So that's not.
2014.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that that's almost 10 years ago, man. That's
insane. Yeah, dude. But, Dallas Buyers Club, the one that he won the Oscar for?
I want to say that was like 2019 or 2018, or I think it was pre-COVID, though. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, dude. Dallas Buyers Club was 2013.
Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Dang, man.
Way off.
That makes me feel old.
Uh-huh. Man. Because
I remember watching the Oscars while that happened. Like, I didn't, I actually watched it live.
Yeah, he had a great speech for that, too.
He did, yeah. No, but that seems like a great movie to watch. I really want to watch that movie now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just such a range. Like, he does those chick flick movies well. Like, they're not my favorite type of movies in general, but if you have to watch one, like, his ones weren't too bad. And then just across the board with his action movies, like Reign of Fire is honestly, it really is one of my favorite movies. Christian Bale's in that.
Yeah.
It's pretty old. Like 2000, I think, slightly after. But man, is it underrated. It's such a good movie, I think.
I haven't seen that one.
It's badass. Dude, it's got dragons.
Yeah. Say less. That's sick. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, I know Interstellar was one of my favorite Matthew McConaughey movies, but I know there's so many more. I think what's cool about him too is he's able to do movies, and a lot of the great stars are really good at this, where they can have movies that are like completely like a character story, and it's just him, you know, like Dallas Buyers Club was like that. Like, it's just, but he's the main character in it.
Right.
And it's about him, and it can crush that performance. But then also, it's fun too to see, like, you know, like even just his performance in The Wolf of Wall Street, like that scene is probably one of the best scenes in movies. Like, that's awesome when he's sitting with Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, and he explains the way the stock market works and all this shit. Like, that one performance is amazing.
And he starts pounding his chest.
Yeah.
I love that speech too. Man, we should have got a clip for that one. It's so good. But that's something that you know, these really incredibly powerful standout comedians do. I mean, it doesn't hurt that, you know, he's very handsome as well. But, you know, take someone like Brad Pitt in Fight Club. I mean, he's there with Edward Norton, who is a legend of an actor and super talented. But so many of the scenes with Tyler Durden in, I mean, it just takes over. I think Jared Leto is in that too. A handsome guy. Uh-huh. And you don't even notice him next to Brad Pitt. Like, that's the power of Pitt.
Oh, yeah.
And in the same way, Matthew McConaughey sat in front of Leo. I mean, Leo is such a force. But there's just something about certain actors that they can just kind of steal any scene.
Yeah, there's a... There's very few people who are up to that level of talent that can do that so well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so cool too, because, you know, they're able to, I think it works out well a lot of times. Like, the actor has to have a role that fits them. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be a believable role. And so it's, I think certain actors just do, like, you know, like if, like, say Tom Cruise wanted to make, like, a romantic movie, you know? Like, it would just kind of – I'm sure he'd do a good job, but it would just be like, you know, can at least the helicopter explode, or can we have him run or something? Like, he's so good in that action category. But it's there's these other actors, I think like Matthew McConaughey, who are just able to be such a wide, like they have such a wide variety of roles that they can play.
Yeah.
That it doesn't really matter what it is. Like they can pull it off and kill it regardless.
It's very impressive. What did you think, you know, like his feeling of Lex was and vice versa? I mean, they're obviously both very respectful and polite, but anything that stood out?
Yeah, I mean, I loved the conversation, actually, and I feel like they...
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
They had a really good, they connected a lot. And I think Lex is really good at doing this with people just because he's a very open-minded and genuine person. But I really liked one of the first things that they were talking about was about like following your dreams, but then also like, you know, you got to be pragmatic about some things. And like Matthew was talking about when he told his dad that he's leaving and going to go to New York to be an actor and stuff. It was like, he didn't ask him to do that. He was like, I'm doing this, you know, and he was like, I'm following my dreams and stuff. But, there's also the flip side of that, which is like, you know, you have to make sure that it can actually work out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, when you're following something like acting or being in a band or maybe stand-up comedy, it's like you just can't really even position yourself to know for sure that it's going to work out. It really is following a dream, right? Whereas let's say you want to be like a big-time stockbroker. Well, maybe you won't ever be big-time, but you can go to school and learn the things and work at a company, and you could definitely get to pay your bills. You pretty much guarantee that if you position yourself well. With kind of a Hollywood dream, I mean, good luck. There's factors.
You gotta be... Yeah, it's extremely competitive. But I thought about it in... like that conversation, I kind of thought about it in, I mean, I don't want to make this podcast about me, but like what I'm doing now, like riding my bike across the country, like it is, they talked a lot about how there's like that aspect of like, you know, once you leave the nest, you know, you're on your own and you gotta take care of yourself. But you also, like, I think you have to be passionate about what you're doing. And if you don't have that level of like passion for it, then you're just going to burn yourself out.
For sure. I mean, you really have to be all in, period, to make it. And still so many don't, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. No, but I was interesting. I felt like that particular conversation kind of connected with where I'm at in life.
Well, you know, you're at a good age to still go do these things, right? You don't have the same levels of responsibilities as you will eventually. And, you know, that's the time to get out and, you know, in a sense, like take some risks, right? It's like seeing what you're made of.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not tied down at all as well. You know, I don't have like a family yet. Yeah, and they were kind of talking about that as well in the podcast because, you know, Lex is I don't know, I think he's like 30, early 30s or something like that, but he's still not married and no kids and stuff. And so they were just kind of talking about how, yeah, it's harder to do things like, you know, travel and stuff like that when you have a young family.
I'm
But
trying to look up some stuff from his book. I saw some quotes earlier. I meant to grab them, but we'll figure it out while we're still talking. Oh, he did ask
yeah, I think
McConaughey
another thing.
about advice for finding love and maybe even just getting a girlfriend. I think that's funny that
Plus,
Lex asks that.
oh yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
That was funny. I can't remember what did Matthew say, kind of. What did he say about that?
It was interesting because it was really quite vague. It wasn't like specific anything. It really just boiled down to like connecting with somebody and also knowing yourself and like kind of where
Yeah.
you are in your life. It was I don't want to say vague. I would rather say broad, you know? And it kind of coming at it from a different direction. I mean, there's so many ways you can give that kind of advice too, and I just felt like it felt like it was a really wise way of doing it.
Yeah, and I feel like I don't think this definitely applies to what Matthew said or anything, but I really feel like everyone feels like they can give relationship advice. You
Oh yeah,
know,
of course.
whether you're in a relationship or not, or you know, you could have never even seen a girl in your life, and you just tell somebody about what you're doing, and they're like, "Oh, bro, dude, you just gotta, you know, do this, that, that." And it's like, "What are you talking about, man?"
Yeah, I always say be very careful where you get or who you talk to for advice, really on anything.
Yeah.
People just love to give it, and it's always like, you know, a good way of doing it is like knowing someone and a friend of yours, so you know that they care about you, but like you know this person, and you also know where they like blatantly screw up all the time, right? And once you have that, then you're like, yeah, let's say it's relationships, for example. So then you ask them a few questions, like, hey, can I get your advice on this? And watch how quickly they want to tell you. And
Yeah.
it's just like such an important bit of indication for you to be like, okay, yeah, I gotta be careful what advice I hear.
Yeah, I think it's also important to notice how people explain things to you. You know, some people seem to have all the answers, you know, and they're like, "Oh, let me sit down, young man. Let me tell you everything I know, and like I got it all figured out." Whereas some people, like I guess what Matthew did in that particular question, where he was like, you know, there's a lot of sides to it. There's a lot going on here, you know. And I think it's also, yeah, like you said, you have to know the person to be able to know who they are and then give them advice. And so it usually is never a good idea to ask total strangers for advice, you know. Sometimes it's actually kind of entertaining though, if you just go up to a random stranger and be like, "Hey, man." You know, don't I hate when people just walk up to you and unload on their problems in life, but like, you know, if you're just at a bar somewhere and chit chatting with someone, I'm not a big fan of small talk, and so I like to just be like, "Hey, man, you know, so and so," and just kind of let off whatever's in my mind. And there's been a very fair amount of times where I've been like just blown away by how well, someone who I don't even know has been able to like give me advice that I feel like really connects with me and is like kind of what I needed to hear in that moment.
Yeah, often it's like the way that somebody will kind of bring it up or even and just speak to you through it, you know? The last thing you need is anyone being preachy. And that was definitely
Yeah.
something I was picking up from McConaughey because he was just very calm. He wasn't super matter of fact. He wasn't preaching
Yeah, and I
anything.
think he's a very humble guy as well.
It was almost like he was just pondering things the whole time and was completely open to a different idea at any point, which is
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, speaking of preaching, I have a funny story. So I was biking into this town in New Mexico called Cuba, and it's like 3 in the afternoon when I get there, and there's a group of people hanging outside of like an auto shop. They had like tents and stuff, and it looked like they had food, and the guy like waved me over, and so I was like, I was hungry as shit, and I was like, well, I mean, if there's food, but it's like this church group. And so I go over there, and they just give me like a bunch of food and water, and they were like super kind and everything. And then I'm like halfway into eating my meal, and one of the guys leans into me, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And he goes, so do you believe in Jesus Christ? And he gave me the whole speech and stuff while I was eating. But I was just waiting for someone to come up and try and convert me, if you will.
Right. Well, for a free sandwich, you're open to...
It was worth it, though. It was worth it. They gave me a little booklet that I read. It made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Was the food good?
Yeah, dude. They gave me like some lasagna, and there was like dessert. And it was
nice.
Very good.
That used to be a great, great Mexican restaurant in Cuba. I remember going there and eating some of the best like New Mexican food I'd ever had in that state.
Oh, I've been having some crazy Mexican food, man. It's been awesome.
It's good.
When I was in Cuba, though, I heard from someone else that there's only one dispensary there, and I heard that the owner is like really chill. And so he let me sleep in like the yard of his like growing facility or whatever.
What?
He let me camp there and gave me water and stuff. Yeah, it was nice.
Oh, so you just went in and spoke to him and then kind of kicked that off?
Yeah, well, I went in there and bought weed, and then I told him what I was doing and stuff, and he's like, "Oh, well, if you need somewhere to stay," and I was like, "Bet."
Oh, dude, that's dope. That's really cool of him. Nice.
No, and then the other night I was camping out at a park and it's like 1 in the morning and I'm almost about to go to sleep and the whole fucking sprinkler system decides to turn on and all of my shit gets soaked.
Oh no.
Yeah, so that was a learning lesson.
Yeah, that's not good. You've had some adventures while you've been out there. You're probably learning a lot about yourself.
I really am. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed, you know, like challenging myself physically and mentally, and it's just kind of cool to just be living out of the bike.
Yep. Well, this is your opportunity. Embrace it all, even the challenges and other issues. You should make like a food journal so you can decide which state has the best food.
Oh yeah.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Oh, I'm pulling
it's
up
probably
some...
probably not going to be Wyoming if I had to bet.
I know, right? I was pulling up some of the quotes from Green Lights, which is his book. And... there's some good ones. Life is not a popularity contest. Be brave, take the hill, but first answer the question, what is my hill? And that sounds like McConaughey, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I can hear him saying it in his voice.
Right. We are the authors.
Yeah,
he goes, we are the author of our own stories, so let's write our own. Which is powerful too, right? There's a lot of levels to that if you think about it. Because often, think we let people write our stories, which is in a lot of ways one of the biggest regrets at least men have kind of on their deathbed, is that they lived a life that kind of somebody else wanted them to be instead of what they wanted to do.
Exactly, yeah.
It's such a privilege, though, to be, even be in that position to kind of have the freedom or bravery to do it. But I'm sure it just feels so much better.
Yeah, definitely. I think, what was it? There was, they were talking a lot about, Lex put it as like, you have like engineered experiences where like you are the one controlling things at least. And then there's like the mystical experiences where it's just like, you just kind of let life take over and you let go a little bit. And then things have a weird way of like connecting back into themselves.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking a lot about that, in relation to what I'm doing on the bike, because I've had a lot of those experiences where I'm just like, I don't know how the fuck this is going to work out. And then it somehow does, in the most unexpected way ever.
I mean, it's often like that with really any problem, right? I mean, I always think about that with my most disorganized friends or periods of time that I've had where I just wasn't planning things well. I was taking quite a lot of risks, you know, maybe even partying quite a lot, which doesn't really help you stay on track with the things that you need. And then problems arise, you're not prepared for them, you don't have the resources to tackle them, maybe the maturity, and you get past it. And it's like you can look at everybody, the even the most disorganized, and at any point in time, they only have the problems they have right then. It's the other ones have passed. And they figured it out. Something happened. It just came together. But in the moment, it's so hard to like really see that. You know, your mind just inflates an issue and it's like, it's just doomsday. But, you know, almost always they just pass. You find a way through it.
Yeah. And it's nice too, because, you know, you have to have that like little bit of like vulnerability, or at least acceptance of, you know, there's only so much that I can control, and, you know, you have to take the bad with the good and appreciate when things work, and then, you know, not lose your mind when things don't work.
Mm-hmm. Easier said than done.
Exactly. Yeah.
I wonder if Matthew is like, because, you know, being an A-list celebrity, and there's so much attention on him all the time, like any of those people. I wonder if it's something that, you know, he really naturally had to gravitate towards, just this like philosophical thinking, this like chill way of being, just to balance those kind of pressures.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't imagine. I mean, especially being like a young and upcoming actor. I mean, the amount of, you know, it's hard because people see that and they're like, oh, how can you complain about that? They're making so much money. But it's like the pressure and all of the other stuff that goes along with that is mentally probably exhausting, and is super annoying when, you know, you have a bunch of people who are, you know, some of them are trying to manipulate you. Some of them are trying to act like your friend, and you have to, I think all the really successful ones, like I think another good example is like Denzel Washington. He's another phenomenal like A-list actor, but he's also incredibly wise. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard him talk before, but I mean, that guy is so smart. And so I think maybe it's just I don't know. I'm sure there's a balance between like that just being a consequence or an inevitable part of being in the game for so long, or, you know, those people are just more intellectually minded than a lot of the other people in their position. But I'm sure there's a balance of both of those things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it might be part of their appeal, right? What got them to that position in the first place, or a skill that they develop on the way as they realize, wow, this is the only way to balance this. I mean, imagine how many actors that have been around forever that have seen people go completely off the rails.
Yeah. I mean, you either got to figure out how to be more wise, or you better have a good plug with drugs. I mean, that seems to
Right.
be the route that
How old
that
is
happens in
McConaughey
Hollywood.
right now? Is he like he's got to be in his
I don't
50s,
know. That's
right?
a great. That's a great question. I think he's probably not in it. He's probably not 60 yet. He's probably like late
No, let's
50s.
Google it. Let's see. Well, his first big movie was Dazed and Confused, which was 93, so that's 30 years ago. That's a long ass time to
Oh, shit.
be making movies. Let's see. Age.
That
I'm gonna
is a
guess
long career.
54. Let's see what it says. Oh, 53. I was close.
53. Okay, so he's a little younger than I thought he was.
53. Imagine
Yeah,
being
no,
that
but I mean,
famous for.
30 years in that kind of industry is a crazy career, though. And I mean, it's so cool to see all the projects that he's been a part of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting, though. Like, I really wonder, I'd love to ask someone like him, like that balance between, coping with all of the stress and then, being under all that pressure and finding healthy coping mechanisms, like where does that come from?
That definitely stood out on the pod that he has a lot of that, right? And a lot of wisdom to pass, you know?
He's also really good at talking. Like, he has a really nice voice. He's very well spoken. I could listen to him all the time. I want to get I kind of want to get the audiobook. If he's the one who reads it, I'd love to get the audiobook of Green Day and listen to that while I'm on the mic.
Oh, that would be the way forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of annoying when you read a book, you listen to a book and it isn't read by the author, especially if it's somebody that you admire and know, because it's almost like you need to
Yeah.
hear it in their voice.
Exactly. Yep.
Another person that I think
Yeah.
is similar but different in his own right is Keanu Reeves.
Oh,
I wish he would
yeah.
do some podcasts. I was kind of bummed when Rogan got a hold of the director of John Wick 4, the new one, and talked to him about the movie, but Keanu didn't go on his show. I would have loved to have
Yeah, I
heard.
feel like Keanu would be perfect for Rogan.
Maybe he
He
just
doesn't
doesn't have
strike
time.
me.
I don't know.
I don't think he's one of those like celebrities. Like, I don't think he enjoys the spotlight necessarily. He seems like more, although I've seen interviews with him before, so I don't really know.
Yeah, I mean but
I don't think
it's
he's
like those
scared of
late
being
night.
public, but
No, I think it's just like those late night talk show things that maybe his agents have him go
yeah.
on, but he often says some really profound stuff, which is, kind of
He
surprising.
does, yeah. Yeah, it's he seems like a really wise guy. He's been in the industry for a while too. I mean, when the Matrix was what, 97?
Yeah, but I mean, he was
Was
doing
it?
Bill and Ted.
Yeah, he was doing stuff way before that.
Oh yeah, way before. Let's look at his movies real quick. Googling away. Whoops. Oh, I love it when people call you right in the middle of a podcast. It's embarrassing.
That's always
Sloppy.
nice.
I know. Great. Let's see. Do. Oh, it doesn't even have Bill and Ted on here. But yeah, Johnny Mnemonic was 95, and the Bill and
Oh,
Ted
yeah.
was like the 80s for sure. So he's done it even
Oh, right.
longer. Yeah. Maybe that's a part of it. They just in order to balance like that level of stress, they have to find this peace, and we could all benefit from that, right? It's just so easy to get caught up in all our
Exactly.
own
Yeah, I was
shit.
gonna say that. I think that's a valuable lesson, regardless of what industry you work in or what you do for a living. I think developing healthy coping mechanisms for when stuff gets tough and dealing with the stress is how we all should try and live, I mean, why not? I mean, a lot of most of us are relying on drugs or other activities that are unhealthy as a coping mechanism, you know, whether it's video games or overeating or, you know, a lot of us have really unhealthy habits. So I think it's even more admirable too, I think, when someone has like a shit ton of money, like someone like Matthew, who just has like fuck you money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but then they're also still on top of their stuff. They have a great personality, and they're also a genuine person. Like, I think that's a very rare combo to find in especially Hollywood of all places. You know, there's very few characters that are like that.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, Joe and others have talked about it for a long time. There's just a lot of kind of fake behavior coming out of Hollywood, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not even the people's fault, really. It's kind of encouraged, you know. It's like, if you think about it, you show up to an audition, you're like, you need to be like a hollow shell of a personality, because basically you're saying, what is my personality today? And they tell you, and you mm-hmm. just become it. So, you know, you've got to be ultimately flexible like that.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard a lot of celebrities discuss, like, I know Jim Carrey has talked a lot about how he struggled with depression, and a lot of it was him being an actor really didn't help, because he was like, I'm playing all of these characters, but I am so disconnected from who I actually am. And so I bet that balance mentally, especially when you go deep into these roles, you know, like when you're doing a huge character study and you're spending over a year playing the role of somebody else, and you have to go deep into who that person is, like it's gotta be hard to balance that with also having your own self-identity and developing and working on that. You know, that's gotta be a hard balance.
I often think about that with people that are what they call character actors, you know, where they like Christian Bale does this, where he like falls, like becomes the person for the whole time he does the movie. Even when in between shooting, it's like he's just that person. And like, I wonder if that has kind of an odd effect on your psyche almost.
I'm sure it does. I mean, can you imagine, you know, you're Christian Bale, and then, you know, you come home to the family, and then you're not having dinner with dad, you're having dinner with Batman, you know, like that's gotta be tough.
Yeah. And then you like really believe you're a superhero for a while.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right. I mean, it's a bit like Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe used to get in fights all the time, but it was because he played like macho guys and the Gladiator and just tough people. And, you know, maybe he just believed that was true.
Yeah, I don't know. Or, I mean, you know, you think about how far it can go, you know, like with Heath Ledger and playing the Joker and stuff, like that level of commitment and stuff, you know, that sounds like it drives people crazy, you know?
Well, that one clearly seemed, it can. That one seemed dark, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I mean, I can't imagine mentally what that must have been like going through. I mean, that's got to be really, really, really hard.
Well, think who's played the Joker, right? So you've had Jack Nicholson. Nicholas? Mm-hmm. Nicholson. I say that right. And Heath.
Jack Nicholson, yeah.
Ledger, obviously.
Ledger, yeah.
Jared Leno. And mm-hmm. now Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's like, in a way, they're all a bit nuts.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
They are, yeah, they're kind of odd characters, but yeah, that's got to be, like, I'm thinking about, like, Joaquin Phoenix's performance in The Joker. I mean, yeah, like, preparing for a role like that has got to be extremely dark, I bet.
Oh, yeah, that movie was unusually dark. It was, like,
great
hard to
movie,
watch.
Though.
So good.
I love that movie, though.
So good. Are they making another one of that?
I hope not, honestly. I mean, I think it would be cool to see, but I don't know where the story would go from there. I thought it was such a good standout movie alone. I don't know where they would build off of that from.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the end...
But if it was the same, if it was the same directors and the same people who did it, I would be very excited for that. I hope it... I just think it would be one of those movies that has so much anticipation going into it. Like trying to make it better and having it be even just as good, that there would be a lot of expectations going into that movie.
Right.
I'd love to see them do it, though.
It looks like they are. Lady Gaga's in it. She plays Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
It says De Niro is back in it, but that doesn't make any sense.
Hmm.
But yeah, it looks like it's coming out next year. Wild.
Yeah.
Dude, good. Well,
you
look,
know, another interesting...
Go on.
I was going to say, another interesting thing about this podcast, the discussion that I really liked was them talking about AI. I thought Lex's description of having like a digital best friend and someone that you can have cool and interesting conversations with. Like, I never thought about AI in that way necessarily. I always thought about it as like a tool,
mm-hmm.
but the way he explained it was like, nah, it's going to be like your online best friend. And I was like, I could get down with that. Like, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Maybe the thing that, that makes, being a therapist actually like, you know, a pointless job, because everyone can have their own AI best friend / therapist.
Yeah, I wonder though, like, it would depend on how you program it though. Like, would you have the therapist that has like the loving, understanding voice, or would you have like David Goggins as your AI therapist, you know, or who just doesn't give a shit?
I guess it depends what you're trying to achieve. If you're trying to motivate yourself,
yeah, you could have like
there'd be settings
you have to put in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, a spiritual wise one that just steps in when you just kind of lost.
I wish you could do that with Siri and make her like less confident. Because I swear to God, every time I use Siri, she's like, blah blah blah, like super confident, and I'm like, that is the literal opposite thing of what I was looking for, you idiot. But if Siri was a little bit more skeptical. And was like, maybe turn right? I don't know. Like, I don't know. That would be at least entertaining.
Yeah. I don't think you want a Siri that is, like, not sure of how to use the maps.
That would be such a mind fuck.
Seems problematic.
That would be fucking, yeah, that would be make road tripping real fun.
Mm-hmm. So
but
what else
no,
we got from,
was...
from this one?
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about the AI thing because Matthew McConaughey asked Lex about like having an AI person as your friend. He was like, well, would you integrate that in with like your family in some way? And like, I don't know. That's an interesting question. Like, I don't think I would want that necessarily. But what would that look like if you were to like – integrate AI into like deeply into your family and like somewhat of like maybe a utilitarian romantic way in some way, you know, if you will, that would be very strange.
What do you think he meant by that?
I'm not sure. I think he was kind of just asking Lex, I think like, would you want that? But I don't know. It's hard to imagine what that would look like, you know, like if you were going to AI to fill the needs of, you know, how as humans we all have the need for social interaction and and love and care and stuff, like, can you really get that from an AI? I feel like it would be a bit disingenuous, you know?
I think, you know, the first, there's going to be two things. Like, the first iteration of it will be clunkier. And because, you know, someone like me in my 40s, like, I know it's AI. And I remember a time when AI didn't exist. So I think it'd just be that much harder to connect with it. But people being born today won't know any different. You know, like, I'm about to have a kid. Give it 10 years. Imagine where AI is. And then my kid will be 10 and or 9.5. And that it would have grown up knowing that it exists. So even though, yeah, it still will know, oh, this is a computer and it's not like people. But to a 9.5-year-old that's like experienced AI for most of its life, it might see it. It might not really be able to tell that it's not alive in a sense.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for people to adjust to it. I think one thing that we're going to struggle with is being reliant on it in too many ways. You know, I think in general, we're a lot of people, especially in Western society, are too reliant on technology. And it's like, if the power went out, you would die of starvation. Like, you have no idea how to cook or, you know, start a fire. You know, and
we'd
so
be
I,
pretty
I,
useless,
I worry,
yeah.
I worry intellectually, though, as we rely on AI more, you know, I think we have to be careful to make sure that it's used as a tool for learning and not just giving us the answers. But getting back to the whole family thing, have you ever seen the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix?
I haven't, no. I've been wanting to watch that.
So that movie is crazy, but it's kind of about what we were discussing, where there's these, like, AI people who are like your best friend, and the main character who is played by Joaquin Phoenix, like, kind of falls in love with this AI girlfriend, and it's kind of a mind fuck of a movie, but it kind of is like a thought experiment in that way of like what it would look like. But that one's weird. Like it's, there's kind of some weird dark moments of that movie where you're like, yeah, I think that would be bad for us.
Does it have a body or is it just a computer?
Well, it does both, actually. So there's a part in the movie where the AI online, his particular AI that he's developing a relationship with, is able to be transmitted into a, I believe it's like a cyborg human, like human-like thing, but it's basically a prostitute. And it's a weird scene, and he's like uncomfortable with it and doesn't do it in the end, but it was like weird of like basically transferring this AI consciousness into like basically this sex robot. And then doing it like that, but that it was very weird though.
Yeah, that shit's going to happen for sure. As soon as those sex bots look better, you know, I mean, they're like dummies now,
that's
right?
That's going to be crazy.
Oh, dude, yeah. It's going to be...
I don't know what kind of technology advancements they've made in that department, but you got to think that there's going to be some crazy shit that is going to be made there, because there's a lot of fucking creepy people who will pay for that.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, it's probably a big part of the problem with advancements in technology and comfortability. It is like people just start becoming more pleasure seeking. I mean, it's so ingrained in us anyway, and it's kind of the balance that you have to control, you know, whether it's drugs or alcohol or porn addiction or, you know, a lot of those sorts of avenues of thinking. You know, you have to be mindful of it. And then to lean into now you can have like a sex robot. I mean, it's so much harder to develop a relationship with a person that you're attracted to over whatever that AI bot could become.
Yeah, and then that's got to mess with your psyche for sure.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, look, let's wrap it up there. Tell everyone again what the episode was.
So the episode is Lex Friedman and Matthew McConaughey Freedom, Truth, Family, Hardship, and Love, episode number 384 on Lex Friedman's podcast.
Very nice. And check out his new book. I think we're going to. Hopefully by next week, if you do get the book on tape, you can tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. We will speak to you next week.
Peace out.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.